So, Ness, you also have a hobby of covering songs and things like that. Can you talk a little bit about playing guitar and how both of you choose the music to set the poetry and dancing to?
Yeah. It's funny you bring that up. I actually haven't played the guitar in quite a while. So Nia's dad got me a guitar for Christmas 4 years ago.
It's been four years. Holy moly.
Yeah, it was the first Christmas that we spent together. Yeah.
Wow, I didn't realize it was that long.
I know. It is really crazy. But yeah, he got me a guitar then. And I, like, toyed with it, was playing, you know, here and there. But, like, I never learned chords or anything like that. I just listened and then just, like, taught myself, like, random things that I wanted to play. And, yeah, I started creating some of my own work, but then obviously covering certain songs, but, like, covering them in my own funky, weird, strange way. thank you. But in terms of, and, oh, yeah, so I haven't really been playing guitar for a while, and I think I needed it when I was more heavily playing, and it was about 2 years ago or a year and a half ago, and I was going through a time in my life where I felt blocked, and I felt like that was the only way I could really get out what I needed to say, and I got out a lot. So now that we're doing Nia and Ness and we're performing more, I haven't really felt that need anymore to play the guitar. So I think really what that did was it served as a channel for me to get things out. And yeah.
When it comes to the music for Nia and Ness, when we first started creating work together, well, the first piece we created is called Blind Spot. And we created it. We weren't thinking about, oh, we're going to start a company. We were creating it, and we're like, oh, you know, this feels really great and, you know, whatnot. And maybe, you know, we'll give it, like, 3 shows, and after that, you know, we can decide if we want to, you know, make this a legit thing. After we performed during the tech rehearsal, we're like, oh, this is what we need to be doing forever. When it comes to that, I kind of took the role of finding the music, because I love listening. We both love listening to music, but I feel like, I like doing research on things I like. Like, if I have a topic that I like, I will, like, go until I find what I'm looking for and then some. It's kind of like you're, like, on Instagram and you keep, like, searching people's pages and, like, going through the dark hole of Instagram. Yeah. That's, like, me with, like, everything. I was looking for music that obviously didn't have words in it, because that's what's going to be speaking. And I came across this amazing artist who plays the cello named Zoe Keating. Her work is mind-blowing, passionate, driven, like no other music I've ever heard, ever. She is a phenomenal artist. I heard her song, Exurgency. What I would do at first is I would have, like, a selection of, like, 3 to 5 songs. But I would secretly have one that's, like, my top favorite, but I wouldn't tell them that's which one it was. So I'd be like, here, babe, you know, here are, like, a few songs I picked out. Like, let me know which ones, like, you're feeling, which ones you don't. Like, and every time she picked the same one that I liked. Every single time. So I was like, this is great. We ended up performing to, what, like, 4 different Zoe Keating songs. We, like, tried to, like, read off of her, like, her one song, and didn't, for one piece, it didn't work out. We're like, no, we're going back.
She just brings something out of us. I mean, obviously, the movement is just, like, by itself, on its own, it's great. But, like, there's something about the way that she makes the cello sound like a drum. And, like, that, your movement just goes perfectly with that. And and it feels right in my soul as I hear it, and I'm like, oh, this is it. Anyway,
no, you're fine. It's incredible. So then, when we decided to create our first full length show, we realized that probably in the future that we wanted to tour our work, And with us booking more and more shows, we're like, oh, this is actually, you know, taking off. We need to make sure we don't get sued. So we had a friend named Garrett Miller. We met him in January of last year at a show that him and his friend Spencer hosted that we performed at. And he really loved our work, was really passionate about it. And it was like, hey, if you ever need a musician that you want to work with, let me know. I would love to work with you too. And we were like, So we had a meeting with him. We all shared our ideas, and it went really well. And we were like, you know, we would love to work with you on our project called Run. And he was just super excited. So he created basically all new music for this show for us, which was amazing. His music gives us that same drive and passion as Zoe Keating did, but in a different way. And it was also just great us working with a musician for the first time and having that experience and figuring out how to communicate with someone from a different art form. Also, him creating completely different music that he's never created before, because it was completely different from what he has done.
Right.
We all had our own ways of pushing ourselves in this process, which I think was really great, and it was a really great learning experience.
Yeah.
And also, it's just, like, nice to know we have the right to use this music and we don't get sued. Because we were like, you know, who knows? Like, what if we end up, you know, on the Ellen show or something of this sort, where we get paid a lot of money and we don't have the legal right to use Zoe Keating's music? She could sue us. And we don't want that. And we want to work with her one day. I feel like that's how the music process went. It was really awesome because in our piece Run, we each have a solo. So we were able to work with Garrett individually as well on the music for our solo. And what was sweet about the solos is that we didn't see each other's solos until the premiere of Run back in August. We kept those like top secret from each other, which was like scary for us to experience because we were so used to working with each other. So working by ourselves, it's like, oh, like, what do we do? I remember for me, like, it took me, like, until, like, almost 2 weeks for the show, and I had nothing. And I was like, well, I got to figure something out. I don't have anything for this solo. So I kind of, like, locked myself in the studio for, like, an hour and banged it out. But that was awesome, too, just working with Garrett personally for the solo and creating something that was so individual. But also doing that for all the pieces, all the 7 pieces throughout the full-length show. And some of the pieces, I think two of the pieces were set to other music from the full-length show.
Yeah.
To a Zoe Keating song and Open Wounds was to what?
To Quadiri, I believe.
We have to look at Quadiri.
Yeah.
There's another female artist.
I think that's the most.
She is a woman of color who is based in Brooklyn, also an amazing artist. But the other 7 pieces were not set to music, so I feel like that was an easier, quote unquote, easier process for the music rather than the pieces that were set to other music.
Right.
Because it was almost like we would give him the theme, the topic of what we're talking about, what we're doing in the pieces that weren't set to anything else. And he would just go be creative, bring it back, and it'd be like, oh my god, this works perfectly.
Yeah.
with Blind Fine Open Wounds, the 2 pieces that were set to other things, it was more difficult in that sense where we had certain cues and things and a certain energy and vibe that was coming out of these pieces, and we wanted to keep that. And like working with it, going back and like nitpicking and like being like, oh, we need to hear that cue here. We need to have this feeling here, and we need to have this here. And the back and forth communication was like a little bit more difficult for all 3 of us, just because, you know, these pieces were already set to other things.
Right.
So it's like trying to make sure it's, you know, still individual, but still having that same feeling. But it was also just a fun process.
It was.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it.
I'm still enjoying it. You know.
That's really incredible. And speaking of people that inspire you, this radio show that this episode is airing on is focusing on Black women in music and non-binary folks in music throughout the years. Who are some Black women and non-binary folks who are musicians, poets, and dancers that inspire you both?
For me, I would say definitely in terms of poetry, Audre Lorde, taking a class on her at Temple in 2013 that Nia mentioned. Yeah, I think really getting into her poetry and also her essays that she wrote, I think this emphasis on being a Black lesbian woman really came from her, you know, really understanding what that means and the importance of naming that and claiming that and putting that out there, you know, for people to identify me as, define me as, describe me as, you know, all of that. Definitely Audre Lorde. In terms of the power that comes behind the words, I would definitely say Lauryn Hill and Queen Latifah. Yeah, because there's a lot of power there in their music. How about you, babe, in terms of the dance?
Actually, when it comes to poetry, you inspire me.
Baby, I can't.
No, it's true. I really appreciate your vulnerability and your strength within your words, and that you put that out there, but that you still wear ties, but that you still hold my hand, even though I think you go through on a daily basis. Yeah, you inspire me the most.
I can't. Yeah. Oh, he's blushing and stuff. Yeah, I think that, like, when we're performing, we drive each other also. I think it's interesting because we'll be performing. I know there's some days when we perform and we're really, really tired, you know, or the music is really low, and we have to figure out how to get that energy.
Yeah.
And watching each other do our own separate magic, I think, really does that, because I'll look at you and I'll feel like I need to go harder because I just see you giving it, like, everything you have. And I'm just like, oh, my gosh, I have to pull this. Like, I have to do this now, like, even more, because she's giving it all. I can't not give it all. Like, yeah, I definitely agree with what you said about the inspiration and in a roundabout way. I'm telling you, you inspire me.
You don't have to say that.
No, I thought the question was more about, like, you know how my mind works. So, like, I think the question is, like, about poetry and music. So I'm thinking specifically, you know, I forget to think outside the box sometimes. And you help me do that. So.
You too. Oh, my gosh. I'm going to ask some fun questions because we've been asking a lot of in-depth questions, and I really could talk to you two forever because your answers are so important and just so inspiring. But are you ready for some fun questions?
Yeah, definitely.
All right. Each of you describe your favorite photo of the two of you.
First. Oh my gosh.
I have to go first.
Okay, go ahead.
So back when we were living in Philly, that's got me mad one day. So I posted this photo on Facebook as, like, my little revenge. We took this selfie, and Ness was making the funniest face. It was, you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I know what you're talking about.
Oh, it was the funniest thing. And, like, I have, like, a few photos on my phone as, like, blackmail photos. Just in case Ness is, like, getting on my nerves. And I'm like, you know what?
So
I'm going to post this online. So this is living in social media.
Oh, also, no, I have another one. our first photo shoot we did in October 2016. This 15-year-old photographer named Luca, what was his last name?
Esposito.
Yes. He, like, snuck us up on some rooftop. I was like, Lord have mercy, we black. We can't be doing this. But I decided, I was like, oh, we should do some jumping photos. These photos of Ness, like, her, the terror in her eyes. And we were not jumping that high off of that. Like, we were jumping, like, maybe a foot off of things.
It was, like, 3 feet.
It was not 3 feet, baby.
I mean, 2 to 3 feet.
Okay, we'll go with 2 feet.
Yeah.
All right. But the terror in her eyes, I wish I could show y'all this photo. Like, these photos are hilarious. They're just so much fear and tension in her hands.
I don't like to be off the ground.
I just one day want to make a t-shirt with these two pictures on it, one in the front and one in the back. And whenever I'm sad, I can just, like, put the t-shirt on and, like, have a good laugh.
That is awful. That is, yeah, it's pretty bad. I'm trying to think of, like, because I was like, oh, my favorite photo is obviously a sweet one.
You can do a sweet one.
I don't know. No, I have a few favorite photos, and they all kind of have this common theme of, like, me kissing your cheek and you smiling.
Oh.
Yeah.
Which one?
Yeah. So there's one that I had a blue shirt on, and I think you had black on, a black dress, and I'm kissing your cheek, and you're looking in the picture, and there's a camera, and you're smiling, and you're kind of like, I can see the ring that I gave you of my grandma's ring. And you're like,
remember when this was?
It was in our first year of being together. It was in the third semester. Yeah.
That's a good picture.
It's a beautiful picture. Yeah. That's one of my favorite pictures. And just like the intensity that I'm giving your cheek when I'm kissing you, it's just like I'm giving you everything that I have. And the way you're looking in the camera is just like,
yeah,
I got it. I got her.
Yeah.
She's mine. Yeah. Like, yeah. Like, there's this, like, it's almost like this, like, trickster aspect behind your eyes in the picture, but, like, it's also, like, really sweet and, like, I don't know. I love that picture. There's so much there, and it's just so simple. Yeah.
And what are some of the other ones? Did you have a few?
Well, the one up there, actually. So I'm pointing at a picture that
I can't see that.
I know. I'm pointing at a picture that's up, hanging up on a wall, and it's like, I guess I would say a quadruple frame picture. There's four frames in it. And one of the ones I'm looking at, we're just smiling really, really big, and there's water behind us because we were at the beach.
In Bulgaria,
and it's pure joy, you know. I like to look at it sometimes and just remember that feeling and remember where we were. So when we do get down, like, and just to look at that and be like, we were those people once, and we still are. Yeah,
that's beautiful.
Thanks.
What's a habit that each of you has that kind of bothers the other one?
Oh, I have a whole book of that.
Okay, well, go ahead.
Rattle you off.
Kidding. Well, I can say what you are annoyed by me.
Okay, you can say. Yeah, we probably do that. Say what other person.
Well, we know the other person. Yeah, so I like to sometimes, like, you know, get, like, lint out of my toenails. Is that, like, a weird thing?
I wasn't going to say that one.
No? Okay, well, Nia hates that.
I was going to mention the kookaburras.
Oh, yeah, I play with my hair, and I like to, like,
leave it around the house.
Yeah, like, pieces, you know, out of my hair.
And your fro.
I don't leave it around the house, yeah.
What I've been doing now, I'm now giving myself away. But when, yes, now you know, when I find a kookaburra now, I put it in your glass.
In my water.
Yeah.
That was you?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That is awful. That was laughing. That never used to happen before. How do they travel, like, through the air and just land in my water? Like, never. You are so awful.
That will stop you from doing it.
Wow. Okay, game on.
Well, no, because you just forced me to think, like, you know, something similar.
Okay.
I know, Ness, I love clothing a lot. I love clothes. I love shopping, but I love thrift shopping. So I can, like, go, you know, with $10 in my hand and leave with bags of clothing, which is wonderful for me, but we live in a small apartment. We live in a studio apartment in Brooklyn. I currently right now have 3 dressers, the bigger closet of the 2 closets, and a coat rack full of clothes, and that's still not enough room for my clothes. So they end up other places around the apartment. So, you know, a shoe over here, a cardigan over there, a shirt over there. And I know Ness isn't very fond of that. But she doesn't complain when I have the clothes on. She loves the clothes I wear. So she can't really get too mad. Or what she'll do is, like, passive-aggressively, like, put the clothing on my side of the bed and, like, a pile.
I'm very passive-aggressive. Very.
It's true.
But you are, too, with your little cookbook.
Yeah, I was doing it. I was like, you know what? True can play this game.
It's true.
Yeah.
Because all her stuff will be, like, it's, like, on my...
All right.
It's like, oh, I don't have enough room for my stuff. I'm just going to put it on your side.
But I've been working on that.
You really have. It's gotten a lot better.
Thank you.
A lot better. And I appreciate you taking time to do it. You know, it's very, very kind of you.
Actually, I feel like I've also gotten better with Cuckoo Girls. Okay, next question.
Mystery solved. I think it's more fun to have you two answer for each other. So for the rest of these fun questions, Nia, you answer for Ness, and Ness, you answer for Nia.
All right.
What are some of your favorite snacks?
Ness loves cheese crackers. And she loves anything chocolate. Chocolate, and the more chocolate, the better. She is a chocolate fiend. She will have chocolate chip cookies for breakfast.
Yes.
She loves chocolate so much. And good chocolate, but she'll settle for other chocolate. If, like, there's nothing else left. But, like, her favorite thing is dark chocolate. The darker, the better.
Yeah.
And why she's with me.
Yes.
Just kick up the story. But, yeah, she is a chocolate fiend.
I am.
But, yeah. Chocolate is, like, her number one thing.
That's very true.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say yours are definitely a best size.
Mia
loves a good French fry, plain, nothing on it, and wine.
My snack.
Yeah, it's a perfect snack. Sangria, something sweet, and lately red.
Yeah.
It used to be, like, sweet white, but now it's sweet red.
Honestly, I think it's because of you, because Ness loves, like, bitter red wine.
Yeah.
And, like, with, like, sweet white wine, like Moscato, it's, like, I end up chugging that back, and I can't really even enjoy it like that.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's not as enjoyable to eat with a meal versus, like, a sweet red, a sangria, things of that sort, where it has that, like, that sweetness that I like, but I can enjoy it with a meal.
Yeah.
Yeah, wine is a great snack.
Yeah. It's like water.
You know? Yes.
Yeah. But you also love a good chocolate cake. Like,
yeah. It has to be a good chocolate cake, though. It can't be a cheap chocolate cake.
True. Yeah, ganache and everything.
Yes.
And, ooh, don't get me started on the apple cider donuts. Mia loves, like, anything pumpkin.
Anything pumpkin.
That's all her. So you have quite a few little things to snack on, which reminds me, we left our popcorn in Austin. We never popped it.
Our popcorn!
Yeah. I don't know why that reminded me of it, but
all about that popcorn.
Yeah. It's all good.
The popcorn tragedy, Nia and Ness.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. The corn that was never popped.
That will be the next dance segment, the popcorn tragedy.
Yes. The corn that never popped.
What are some of your favorite colors and favorite color combinations?
Ooh. Well, mezcal, I have a color every day of the week. but right now, it's really been red. Before that, was brown. She still loves brown a lot. She loves all different kinds of shades of brown. She likes earth tones a lot. But red has been a really big thing. Actually, right now, she has a candle lit that is red and black. So, yeah, it's black. Mm-hmm. So I feel like those have been, like, really those two combinations. But I feel like with Ness, like, every color, except we just talked about this the other day with colors, every color is of yellow. Like, she has, like, a deep connection with or meaning to or meaning for.
Yeah, I'm like, yellow's cool. Anyway, this isn't about me now, I'm answering for you. So Nia's favorite colors are green, blue, and purple. And I think that's really beautiful because according to, like, some spiritual, kind of like New Age, but also I believe some Eastern philosophies, green, blue, and purple are, like, associated with the higher chakras. And, yeah, like, so the heart chakra is in green, the throat chakra is with the blue, and then also indigo blue being the third eye chakra, and then purple being, like, the crown chakra, right?
Never thought of
that. Yeah, so I think that's really interesting that your favorite colors are, like, all associated with, like, you know, just being great. I think are really interesting. And in terms of combinations, lately, like, you really do mix and match, like, any colors really well. You figure that out. But in terms of combinations lately, like, I've been seeing a lot of purple, mainly because your jacket is purple. and you wear that, like, everything. Purples and grays. You have these gray overalls that, yeah, that look really nice. And the gray is more of, like, I guess it would say stonewash gray.
Yeah. Gray is a very comfortable color.
Yeah, it looks great on you. Great on you.
Oh, my
gosh. Yeah. But, yeah, those three colors, there's a dress that I really like that you wear. It's green, and it has yellow and blue in it. That's summer dress.
Exactly.
Yeah. So that's something that just, like, pops into my mind.
I love that dress.
Yeah, it's a really beautiful dress. Yeah.
See, this is where my shopping addiction comes in handy.
That's true.
Because that dress was only like $12 with shipping.
I know. So every time she talks about an outfit, she has to, like,
yeah, the overalls were only $7.
Yeah, detail the price. And, you know, she used to talk about where she got it exactly.
Well, I think that on a show, I don't really want to shout out.
Sure.
I can tell you where I got the clothes from. Yeah. That's one of the reasons why I can't get rid of my clothing.
Mm-hmm.
Is because every item I have will have a special story to it.
That's true.
And, like, I remember who gave it to me, which is very rare. People just kind of not buy me clothes because they never know what. And that's gotten better at that, though, recently. She got me two dresses for Christmas. And we celebrate Kwanzaa. She gave me this really beautiful blue, navy blue velvet shirt for Kwanzaa. Oh, I love it. But, like, now I think she's starting to actually finally understand what my style is. Because, like, my style is very all over the place. It can be very feminine. It can be androgynous. It can be, you know, very New York chic, very laid back. It can be a bunch of different stuff. And I think he will see me and they're like, oh, she'll wear anything. It's like, no, actually I won't. So then, yeah, I love those, which I love. They all have, like, a special meaning or a certain memory that's, like, tied to it.
Together and apart, what are some of your favorite songs to dance to?
Together and Apart would have to be Now or Never by Halsey.
Mm-hmm.
We saw her live in October last year, and it was Ness and I love going to concerts. One of the reasons why we go to a concert, we don't feel the pressure of being a Black lesbian woman. We just feel like we're there in the crowd of people, all there to enjoy music, which is a beautiful feeling to have for, you know, an hour or two. And that concert was great. And it was at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn. And we had no idea when you went there, because you got a ticket number. When we got there, they were just like, oh, it's two of you? Okay, and they handed us two random tickets. So So we were supposed to be in, like, section, like, 220 and actually ended up in section 17. So we were, like, pretty close to the stage. It was insane. It was an amazing concert. She had, you know, only one dancer, and it was a black woman that was like, hell yeah. And that song just reminds me of that night and how much fun we had.
Yeah.
It was such a good time. It was such a good time. And I just love, like, singing and dancing to that song.
Yeah. It
brings me back to that moment.
Yeah, together it would be anything Denisha and Team, but definitely Trip Ball. Like, we saw them, the first time we saw them was in Philly, when they came to Philly.
Mm-hmm.
They opened up for, them, and then Nikki Eco also opened up for her. And then we also got to see them again a year and a half ago. Just their voices, their music, there's something about it just that transports me. That's why I enjoy being in that place, that other place with you when I hear them. Apart, I think that our music styles are sounds a little bit different.
Yeah.
I like more like the electronic, sometimes experimental. And so there's a song that I still like really love. It's called Loop by this group, called Chiasmos, I believe. And yeah, that just really, whenever I hear it, I feel like I want to not so much dance, but just jump and just like kind of create this energy in my body to send out. Like it's weird, but that's kind of like what I do when I hear it.
Yeah, for me, my music paces all over the place.
Yeah.
It's hard right now. I really like SZA's newest album, basically almost any song on there. I love dancing, too. But actually, I would have to say Viking by Frank Ocean. I really love singing and dancing to that song. Also, there's a remix that came out with Jay-Z and Tyler, the Creator, to that song. And I love that. Love that remix so much. And it's just like, I feel like I relate to Frank Ocean a lot with his music and his flow and the way he can manipulate his voice. I really enjoy listening to that song in particular. I just really love the flow of it, and I love allowing my body to flow with his flow.
She even danced to it once, and it was magical to watch. And I think it was in that dress that I liked, too, that you danced to it.
It was?
I think it was. I could be wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong.
I think you're wrong about that. Okay. But it's okay, hon.
Yeah. In my dream, you can.
I will dance to it for you in that dress one day.
Very good.
We'll do that.
Yes.
It's being the future.
Yes, exactly.
What a beautiful relationship based on communication and compromise. I have two more questions for you. First question. What are your social media links? Where can people find you and learn more about you and the art that you create?
Yeah.
Well, you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Nia and Ness. It is NIAANDNESS. You can just type that in to Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. We mostly use like Instagram and Facebook the most. I mean, we post on Twitter, but I feel like Instagram is our favorite app to use.
Definitely.
Because, like, I feel like it has everything on that one app.
Yeah.
We love doing like little Insta stories so people get to know us more on a personal level and to see how we are. Like, I mean, I know like, you can manipulate things you put online, obviously, but I feel like what we put on our Insta stories on our Instagram and all our social media is very true to who we are.
Yeah.
We post our awkwardness, we post about our love, we're very passionate about each other and about our art. And we just post those kind of things. I love posting different kinds of pictures and whatnot. Like we'll post a selfie or we'll post like a professional photo that was taken of us, or we'll post a picture that a friend took of us. Just to have those different things so that you can see us in different lights. And also, we just came back from Austin, Texas this past Monday, and we posted on our Insta stories, like, the whole highlight of our
more or less a week-long trip that we were there. So you get to see, like, the whole, like, what we went through, what we did, and our experiences for the first time, because that was the first time both being in Austin and my first time being in Texas. Yeah.
Yeah.
So where you can find us and get to know us and see our upcoming show, see what, you know, we have coming up and all that fun stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I think also just to, like, add to that as a note is that on social media, we're Nia and Ness with the A-N-D. But whenever you mention us, you know, use the ampersand, like when doing flyers or whatever, like, I don't know, you know, who's going to be. But just to let people know, because like with the ampersand, it, like it's a different meaning with the ampersand than with the and.
Mm-hmm.
So and is like Nia and then this person, Ness, right? But an ampersand makes it like we're one. Right.
Yeah.
And then also, yeah, social media wouldn't let us use the ampersand. That's why we use the A-N-D on social media.
Right. Oh, also, we have a website. You can check that out, too.
Yeah, niaandness.com.
Yeah.
A-N-D.
Yes.
Yeah.
But there you can have the whole official list of our performances coming up. You can see some cute photos of us and some videos. We just came out with a trailer for our tour.
Mm-hmm.
You should check that out on YouTube.
Nia put it together. It's awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah.
We have one more question.
Awesome.
Yay.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
I don't know.
The last question is the question of every Feminine Industry interview. If you were to give a piece of advice to your younger selves or anyone wanting to get involved in art or music or dance, what's something that you would want to tell them? And for them to know?
I would tell them to continue fighting, continue to trust yourself, because you know yourself better than anybody else. When I was younger, I had a lot of people try to steer me away from dancing or not do the style of dancing that I do because no one else is doing it. And I was really resilient for a teenager. So I would just tell myself to keep pushing, keep fighting, and it's going to pay off. Even those times where you feel like it's not going to, or no one believes you, or no one supports you, like, keep pushing.
I would tell myself that I'm strong and powerful and wise, and I could tell myself that basically that's what you told me, you know, that day that I was just not okay. And I think those words saved my life. And so I tell myself that, you know, when I'm going through something and when I'm walking down the street or when I'm, you know, on the train, like, I'll tell myself that. And I still think that little self still lives inside of me. Mm-hmm. And those words really help put her in me.
Such incredible, inspiring words from both of you. Thank you so much for taking your time to do this interview for Feminine Industry.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much.
No problem. Thank you, Nia and Ness.